CQ Arizona, welcome to a special edition of Ham Radio and More. You wouldn't believe this. We're inside of a van here because they were afraid the equipment was getting a little wet. And here we have an amateur radio station going on right in the background, which we've been making all kinds of contacts all over the world. Come on, turn up. See, we're doing everything here. We have Chris Townsend, NU7V, and Mark, WF7K, and Jack Mees, KA7AKJ, and Al Gross, of course, WAPAL, and we have Ken Nichols here, WA7HXZ, and we have all kinds of people in this 16-foot, maybe, RV here, and this is real live radio, unbelievable as it may seem, at the State Fair. Thank you guys to get us on the air here. I hope we have people listening. Now, to start out, the second caller to 241-1510, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. We have two free tickets, Saturday, November 2nd to PIR Raceway. It is the NASCAR Southwest Tour at the Phoenix International Raceway. There are two tickets worth $30 given by Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Auto Mall. So the second caller, 241-1510, these tickets are free to you. And we'd like to know who you are. If I can talk to you, that would be great. In the meantime, let me introduce one of my guests, Al Gross, WAPAL. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Boy, do I love to be here, for the simple reason that we're all crowded in a van, and I can't believe we got that many people here in a broadcast.
If nothing else, we've set a record for the most people inside doing a commercial broadcast at one time. Oh, now, beautiful, okay. And Chris, how are we doing over here on making contacts? Where have we talked all over?
We've talked to Curacao in about six different states, the Caribbean, and we're trying to get through on some of the bigger pile-ups, but it's pretty hard right now. We've got about 50, 60 watts output from our antenna here.
Okay, superb. And Ken, what are you doing out in nowhere's land over there? How you doing?
Hi, Lynn. I'm doing great, and welcome, and thank you for inviting me down here today. I didn't expect the rain, but we're having a good time.
Well, it's actually stopping. The rain is stopping. We've got a bunch of people watching inside the van, but unfortunately, we can't be outside. Let's see. What do I have here? I've got a whole bunch of QSTs that I don't think I'm going to be able to go over, a lot of them, but first thing I'd like to... Oh, we got KE7PE. KE7PE. Are you online? KE7PE. Okay, do you hear me now?
In 1938. And, man... It's a shame, though, with the weather. He's brought with him the walkie-talkies, and they are unbelievable. They have how many vacuum tubes in the first one?
Three.
Three vacuum tubes?
Three vacuum tubes.
And
no transistors then.
Then. Did you bring your receiver that you...
Yes, a four-transistor receiver that you can hold in your fist.
Well, I'm telling...
And it operates on short wave in one of the ham bands.
Well... Tell us how you first got involved. I know you've been involved with a lot of different things, and we've had Al on the show before, and we've talked about the fact that he invented the first beeper, and he was involved with Charles Gould and getting the Dick Tracy watch. But how'd you get involved with the OSS? Because when I walked with you around the convention at the Southwest Division Convention last week, that's what everybody kept asking you, and everybody tried to outdo you and who they knew at the OSS and everything. Talk about the OSS a little bit.
Well, in 1942, I was called to Washington by the Office of Strategic Services, which was a branch designated by Franklin Roosevelt, the president of that time, to handle clandestine operations over in occupied countries, primarily because he wanted to get intelligence quickly and daily, as Winston Churchill was doing from his intelligence groups. They had seen some advertising or an article that showed my handheld walkie-talkie that operated at 300 megahertz at that time, and they wanted a demonstration of these units. It was then that I got the information that they wanted a system for talking plane to ground. So it was really in 1942 when I was called to Washington. That's when it really began.
Well, and then you're involved with it, Joan Eleanor.
And then they codenamed the project Joan Eleanor. Joan was for the equipment on the aircraft, because we were going to talk plane to ground, and Eleanor was a little tiny handheld unit that was FM that operated at 250 megahertz that the operator would use on the ground for talking to the airplane. And it was the most important piece of communication equipment for clandestine use in occupied Europe at that time.
Okay, let's go on, because we've talked about the OSS. One thing I just found out about you that I didn't know was that you were involved with the pocket calculator.
Yes. In 1956, 57, and 58, I was under contract to the Army Material Command to develop digital technology that could be used in programming missiles and rockets. It was at that time that I was also given a task to produce a small handheld unit that would add and subtract as a clock would do. And consequently, that was the genesis of the first handheld calculator. And it was not much bigger than the present-day calculators.
Well, it's just amazing, because I knew a lot about you, and I read all kinds of things, and of course I've interviewed you a couple times, but I wasn't aware that you got involved with our everyday pocket calculator. Absolutely amazing. I want to again emphasize it. The sun is coming out, and now the next thing I know, they're all going to tell me, let's go back outside, but the sun is coming out, and and our phone number is 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN. If you're in DX land, we'll take your calls. And if you have a question for Al Gross, he's here. Anything you ever want to know, he is the father of personal use radio. I like to call him the godfather of personal use radio. And, I mean, he can answer all the questions. In fact, there's people out there who are not hams. Tell us how radio, can you briefly, in like 60 seconds or so, tell us how radio works? I mean, what is radio? I mean, we all know, you turn it on, you listen, and you...
Well, now, if you want a technical description...
Well, semi-technical.
Well, it's electromagnetic energy that is transmitted through the atmosphere, and at different frequencies. Obviously, it has different distances, because frequency and time and distance are all related to one another. So communications by radio means that you have a transmitter that emanates electromagnetic energy on a certain frequency, which will travel a certain distance. That's essentially what it is. I hope it wasn't too technical.
Well, that answers our question anyway. Again, we have here also the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club, and we're actually participating in doing some DX communications, and they've made contact to different places in the world already on 20 meters? On 15 meters, and they hastily put up an antenna, and we have power, and it's really kind of unique, because we have a commercial radio station and an amateur radio station inside the same van right now, and they're making contacts, and it is great. We're doing our part. The Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club is doing our part for Amateur Awareness Day. Although we unfortunately had to move inside, there is a sign outside, and we have some brochures. I want to encourage everybody to send out their QSL cards and postcards back to KFNN at 4800 North North Central, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. Send in your QSL cards, and we'll send you back a QSL card with a KFNN, KB7LPW QSL card back to you, and enter you into our prize drawing. So really, I need those cards to keep on coming, and if you're not a ham but you're wanting to be, send me a postcard. We want to hear from you, and also any ideas you might have on, what you would like to see in upcoming shows. Next Sunday, November 2nd, 2 days after my yearly birthday, the Cochise Amateur Radio Association will hold their annual Ham Radio Computer Swap Fest, and it'll be on from 0800 till dusk at the Green Acres. It's located 9 miles east of Sierra Vista and 2 miles south of Highway 90 on Mason Road. The talk-in frequency is 146.16. There's a free admission and parking, and there'll be VE testing for all classes on a walk-in basis. For more information, you can call Rick Breitweiser at 459-1039, 459-1039. mark down that date. And then mark down this date also, November the 30th. That's a Saturday, November the 30th. And that's when the Superstition Amateur Radio Club will hold its annual Ham Fest. It's usually a biggie in Apache Junction, so I invite everyone to be there. My guests next week, next week will be Oliver Greaves, W7WGW. And we'll discuss the Mingus Mountain Repeater Group. Oh, I made one mistake. The Cochise Amateur Radio thing will be November 2nd, which is a Saturday, not a Sunday. Will be a Saturday, November 2nd. Then on November 3rd, Oliver Grieve, W7WGW, will be my guest. We'll discuss the Mingus Mountain Repeater Group, and they have what many to believe is the absolute best repeater locations. You'll find out what frequency they're on and where you can reach them and how to become a member. Also, we'll talk about Oliver's 2 to 10 meter link. And for all you people out there who have become no-code techs recently, and there's certainly a lot of them, my daughter, is my daughter here? My daughter, congratulations, Lori, 9-year-old, just received her call. And what is your call?
N7UKZ.
You crazy. What a call, UKZ. Now, she is doesn't have her own setup yet, but she could be reached at my packet, KB7LPW, of course, on 145.11. My mailbox is always on, and she loves congratulatory messages, and she'll get right back to you. And that call again is?
N7UKZ.
Okay. Congratulations again, Lori. So, but what I was saying is all you no-coders out there, because you're wanting to talk long distance and you're not able to do that really on 2 meters and 440, et cetera, with Oliver's link, which we'll discuss next Sunday, you can talk on 2 meters and it'll connect into a 10-meter link. And that really is a boon. It hasn't been real popular for a lot of people, but I think now with the no code, it should get a big boost. So we're going to discuss that next week, so listen up. The week after, we're going to have Charlotte Couch from the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club and Dennis Campbell from the Arizona Repeater Association, and we'll talk about the myriad of public service events that we amateurs get involved in, from parades to nuclear disaster drills and all other public service events. Also, the following week, we're going to have Gerald Higgins, W9INP. He's the president of Chapter 16, the Barry M. Goldwater Quarter Century Wireless Association. Gerald has been a ham for 42 years, so it should be very informative and interesting. Again, our number, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN. And give us a call. Be part of the show. Also, I wanted to mention that we will be on today till 3 o'clock, so don't go away at 2 o'clock. And next week we'll also be on at 1 o'clock, and from then on from 1 to 2. So listen up. I don't want you to miss our shows. And make sure you tell a friend. Tell a non-ham, because this is a way they can find all the different things that we do as ham radio operators. And because the name of the show is Ham Radio and More, we're going to talk a little about the and more right now. Again, Al is very instrumental in radio. In fact, I have in front of me, in 1 second, as soon as I find it in all this hodgepodge here, the first QSL card from CB. This is the first CB-er, Al Gross. Now don't all knock it because he was in CB. You know, most of you guys are really in CB too, you know, so you graduated. But anyway, CB number one in front of me, 19W0001 was his call, which was issued March 22nd, 1948. Tell me how CB came to pass.
Well, during the war, I had an opportunity to meet with the Federal Communications Commission, who was interested in the post-war activity of two-way radio, and they saw my little tiny handheld unit that was used for clandestine operation over in Europe and in the Far East. The chief engineer then introduced me to members of the Federal Communications Commission, and that was in 1945, and they thought at that time that something like this would be useful for the public, for the general public, as personal two-way radio. At that time, it was decreed, as it turned out, they agreed that any citizen of United States 18 years of age or older could obtain a personal radio license. From that came the connotation of CB radio, because the frequencies allocated at that time were 464.70 megahertz, which today is General Mobile Radio Service. So obviously, the connotation of CB radio began at that time. It was only in 1958, September of 1958, that the FCC allocated frequencies adjacent to the amateur 10-meter band, which was 27 megahertz, and that became CB radio for the low-cost equipment, which you can buy today in most any store. So that is the genesis of CB radio, which actually began the personal radio activity, which today has evolved into cellular two-way radio.
Okay. I'm sorry, this is a new experience. I have an amateur license, not a professional license. So, okay, this card is unbelievable, though. It has on the back, tell me about all these experiments, because I'm reading this, I don't understand it. Why were you
Well, during the war, I was issued two special licenses for experimental use, W10XVX and W10XVY, and these were to test my original 250 megahertz transceivers for possible use in personal two-way radio. Then shortly at the end of the war, in 1945, I was issued three other call letters, W8XAF, W8XAG, and W8XAH, for 460, 470 megahertz, which would be experimental at that time. And in addition to that, I had a mobile unit, which was KQ2XAL. And those are historical licenses because they're no longer issued that way. Then March 22, 1948, at the IRE, the Institute of Radio Engineers Convention in New York City, on March 22, 1948, I received type approval on the first handheld walkie-talkies for 460, 470 megahertz. That is the genesis of the original CB radio. In 1958, I was issued other call letters, KHI 1547 for 27 megahertz, KNN 0522 for 27 megahertz, and several other calls. My original call, W8PAL, was issued in 1934. And then, in addition to that, I had many other pieces of equipment which had special licenses from the FCC.
Absolutely amazing. I remember I had one legitimate Citizens Band radio license. Did you ever have a license, Chris?
Yes, we had one once when I had my truck.
See, so do you ever ham radio operator, Mark?
CB operator, yes.
CB, I mean.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Were you, Jack? Everybody here was a CB operator at one time before they become a ham radio operator. So, you know, if you're out there and you're talking on 11 meters, we don't have any problem with you learning the code or at least passing the no code and coming on board. The more the merrier. Okay. Al, I was reading a little bit of your biography here, which I heard is going to be in a book soon someday, and I think a movie or something should be written. And in 1950, you were involved in a helmet designing.
The design of the helmet radio.
And so,
which today is used by the military a lot.
So you mean before this came along, I mean, you really designed it?
Yes, I did. I have photographs of that and some of the parts that went into the original model. It was used by the Navy, in fact, and then the Signal Corps came out with the helmet radio shortly thereafter.
Well, you know, I couldn't believe I was reading all this and all the things you did. Designed and invented in 1950, the first digital one-way radio paging system, the beeper. Okay, now, here's something else. You received recognition from the National Bureau of Standards for the first use of printed circuits in transmitters and receivers and the use of surface mount technology. Today, everybody's talking about and bragging about surface mount technology. You were doing this 35 years ago.
1945, 46, and 47. That's when I introduced it, but nobody was bound and determined to use it, so I used it in my transceivers.
So how did you... how did you just even think of it? I mean, how did you come up with that?
Well, by necessity, because some of the technology was material technology, and I needed that in order to get stable circuits.
Okay. Do you have that little receiver you just showed
me? Oh,
yes. Because
as soon as I can find it, it's buried in my pocket someplace.
It's such a small little receiver. Again, I want to take the time to tell you, everybody, our phone number is 241-1510. 241-1510. We are taking phone calls here in the fair, and we are broadcasting live from the Arizona State Fair, and it has become a beautiful day again. The sun is out. It's gorgeous. The water's drying up. We've got a crowd around our table and our chairs, and unfortunately, we're still inside here in a nice, warm, cozy van. And it's cozy, because I'm telling you, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, we got about 13, 14 people. In my hand, I'm holding something that is, now, no joke, this is a good half an inch, would you say? A half an inch wide, a quarter of an inch to 3/8 of an inch thick, and what would that be? 2 inches, 2.5 inches tall. And it is a receiver that receives from what to what?
It receives a short wave. It receives between 10 megahertz and 18 megahertz. It covers the 15 megahertz amateur radio band.
And this is so small. I mean, and you connect this to a... Well, tell us about this. You tell us.
Well,
I
was involved with military work in miniaturization and proximity fuses, and the military felt in order to demonstrate miniaturization, they asked me to design and build a four-transistor receiver to show smallness and micro-miniaturization. It took about a year and a half to design and build four of these little tiny receivers, and this is the last of those.
Well, it is amazing. I know you brought it to my home, and we plugged it in, you know, to a 9-volt battery, and then attached the antenna to our aluminum mini blinds. And I didn't believe him. You know, when first I was talking to Al, I mean, this is fun. Because, you know, somebody says, I invented the first CB, you know, or first radio. And I say, yeah, I got some land, you know. And so, I was interested in meeting him and everything else. And we had I turned my Icom 735 to the 15-meter band. And we finally found the same place we were listening on this little radio. I couldn't believe it actually worked. We're looking right now at a...
The World War II transceiver for the OSS.
And this was on 250?
250 megahertz. And this is surface mount technology, because if you look at that very closely, you'll see the substrate, which is a laminated material, and the parts mounted on each side, which is surface mount technology.
I really wish everybody was down here to be able to see this, because this is really incredible. If you ever get a chance to see Al Gross, and we're going to try to get him if I can sneak him into a program at the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club. this is really unbelievable. Unless you see it, it's hard to describe it. Want to take a moment from you, Al, and talk to Ken Nichols. Ken Nichols, of course, is the fleet manager for Linda Brock Auto Mall, WA7HXZ, and he's been here for a couple of hours now helping me stay dry. And Ken, I appreciate your coming down. And
thanks, man. I appreciate you having me down. And good afternoon to everybody in out in Radio Land and all my ham operator friends.
And Ken, of course, helps sponsor the show and keeps ham radio and more on the radio, which I really, you know, we wouldn't be here without our sponsors. And
according to.
And you know, the biggest question I get, and I get a lot of those questions, Ken, on a consistent basis. They ask me, how come people come to you from all over the entire United States to buy a vehicle? I mean, they have car places in locally, and yet from Texas, from Minnesota, they come all over, they come to you. Why?
Lynn, first of all, well, thanks for the question, but first of all, let me thank you for the way that you've presented my savings plan through the last few months that we've been on the air with you. But let me just kind of give you a rundown of how I think it all works and what makes it successful. First of all, I call the program a National Network Fleet Savings Plan. And what does that title say or mean? First, let's pick up on the word network or networking, and that's what I do. In fact, that's what I'm doing here this afternoon, marketing or focusing my service to a select group like Ham Radio and More. Using display advertising, newspapers, brochures, trade shows, computers, yes, even CompuServe, yes, and even Radio Today. This week, we're sponsoring the Arizona Women's Tennis Classic at the Scottsdale Princess Hotel. which gives me another window of opportunity to feature some special cars like the new 850i BMW Stealth, the new Oldsmobile 88 Royal LS, and the all-new Volkswagen Passat. Now, how do I do this nationwide? Have you heard of the Amway Corporation? Of course you have. Just one day this week, I received a fax. Yes, a fax from Amway at their headquarters with three referrals. Three referrals for the Dodge product. And the next day, another one. One of these referrals just happened to be a doctor who works at the trauma center, Scottsdale Memorial Hospital. And he wants to order a Dodge Caravan. Now, one of his requests was, can you take the order at the hospital, as he is very busy? And, of course, you all know the answer. Last week, one of these leads from Amway resulted in an order in a one-ton Dodge diesel truck. Another of the leads was from Las Vegas, who wanted a caravan. Now, why would he want to come to me? There's only one reason, service and price. This is just one of the nationwide organizations who refers customers to me. Now, why do they use me, Ken Nichols?
Well, I know why.
I'll give you some ideas that I think.
Okay.
Because of my record of how I take care of customers, maybe it's because I take a picture of them with their car after the sale.
That must be it.
Or maybe it's because I give them a magnetic business card so they can put it on their refrigerator, not on the front, but on the side, just so that they can get a hold of me in case there is a problem. All in all, I think it's the convenience that I provide them, which means that if they want a quote on any vehicle, they don't have to come to the dealership. All they have to do is call. Cost savings anywhere from 1 to 3% over invoice on most makes and models. The only thing you have to do is dial one number, 228-2336.
228-2336. And you can call Ken.
And one other thing, I wanted to make sure that we use that number because it is a convenience to the customer. It is not the dealership's number, but it is a direct line to me, whether I'm in my car, at my home, or a voice mailbox.
In fact, you can call now and get a price on a vehicle.
And you can also win some more tickets.
That's right. Well, we're going to do that in the next hour. Right now, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. And please stay tuned. So this is Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and we'll be back in a few. Don't go away. Our KB7LPW, and our show is sponsored by Wallpaper World, Antennas West, and Portofino Restaurante, and Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Auto Mall. And we're on commercial radio, and we're also with live with an amateur station. We know where that person's at. Okay, Zulu Victor prefix. I'll tell you, the excitement of ham radio is unbelievable, and that's what this is all about, getting more and more people involved in amateur radio. They have been talking to people all over the world, Curacao, in fact, to Radio Finland in Curacao, which is a very interesting station. There's a story behind that, and they made a beautiful movie, Jack Reed, and a few others. And this is just an amazing, amazing hobby, and I certainly suggest anybody get involved. You can hear it in the background as they're talking all over the world. Again, our guest here is Al Gross, WHPAL, and he's certainly the father of personal use radio. And I thank you again, Al, for being our guest here today. Okay.
For having me on.
And the weather is actually getting much, much nicer. There's still an hour left of our show. Come on down and meet Al Gross in person and see some of the wares that he's brought with. He brought his entire group of stuff, I mean, including the wristwatch radio that Dick Tracy has used and the wristwatch beeper. Tell me about the wristwatch beeper.
Well, the wristwatch beeper stems from the wristwatch radio, which I had completed in 1947, and it actually is a wireless microphone. But when Chester Gould saw it, it was that year, 1948, that he decided to equip Dick Tracy with the wrist radio. That is how the wrist radio got started. Today, of course, there is a commercial model of the wristwatch beeper, complete with a digital watch and a beeper system in it, which also gives you the telephone number of the person that calls you.
Okay, well, and you were instrumental in that. Didn't you have something to do with the cellular telephone that we all use and carry around with us now?
Yes.
Okay.
All these things were all tied together.
He's an amazing man. I mean, I'll tell you. And he's you know, he's only 35 years old, and he works 6 days a week. In fact, well, you look 35. In fact, where do you work presently?
I'm an electronic engineer for Orbital Sciences Corporation, Space Data Division in Chandler, Arizona.
And what are you working on now?
And some of the elements that I'm working on today deal with rockets and missiles for the Strategic Defense Initiative, and also with the Pegasus launch vehicle, which is going to put telecommunication satellites into space and the satellites themselves.
Well, amazing. We're going to talk about more about all these things, and also some of the other interesting things like proximity fuses and I mentioned the battery calculator earlier, but we're going to talk about that in a minute. Again, our number is 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN, 1-800-293-5366. And we encourage your phone calls and your input. We are able to put you on the air, and so give us a call, and let's get you on the air with a question for Al, or a question or a comment. It's really getting to be quite nice out here. I'm looking and seeing that there are, I got to say, in my eyesight now, hundreds and possibly thousands of people here standing around looking at different things. And we're right at the north end of the Coliseum. And I encourage you, come on down and say hello. Drop by and see what we're doing. Also, at the studio, be alert here, the third caller at 241-1510, 241-1510, or the 1-800-293-5366. The third caller, two free tickets, this Saturday, November 2nd, for NASCAR PIR Raceway. $15 tickets, courtesy of Ken Nichols from Linda Brock Auto Mall. So the third caller is going to get these two free tickets, so call now. Okay. Let's talk about proximity fuses. What is a proximity fuse? Because I'm not even sure what that is.
Well, during the war, one of the problems was countering the attacks by low-flying buzz bombs, and also rockets, and also low-flying aircraft. And the principle behind the proximity fuse was to detect the missile or the aircraft early on, and this way trigger an early burst, whereby all the shrapnel that would be going toward the target would rip up the target or the missile or the aircraft. That was the principle behind it. It's not too much different than a garage door opener.
So it works on radio waves, obviously.
It does work on radio waves, and it receives the reflected signal from the target, and at a certain point, which is called a standoff distance from the target, it will trigger the detonator, exploding the ordnance.
And this was used, let's see, you invented that or came up with that, helped design it when?
I came up with some of those designs shortly towards the tail end of the war, which was 1945.
My father is here, and of course remembers World War II very well. Did you ever get, and you were in the Air Force, did you ever get involved with proximity fuses? You stayed away from those things, huh? Anything that had to do with danger, killing, fighting? This is Veterans Day today, so you got in at half price or something here, right? Okay. So anyway, okay. Do we have a winner yet, third caller? Okay, well, we're checking through our engineer. Okay, yes, we do have a winner. Okay, we're going to find out who it is. Okay, then I'm reading here, in 1959, okay, you designed and developed proximity fuses for the U.S. Army. Is that something different?
Was a continuation of the work that started as early as 1945.
We have a Connie online, N7LPY, is that? LPU, N7LPU, Connie, are you online? Hello? Hi, Connie, welcome to Ham Radio and More. N7LPU, that's not a real new call. How long have you been a ham? Uh-huh. And how old are you? Because I'm just asking that because you sound young. Well, you got to realize that I'm listening through a headset inside of a vehicle here. So, well, you have a very young voice, seriously, Connie. you're going to go to the PIR this coming Saturday night, and you've got to pick up your tickets from Ken Nichols at Linda Brock, and his number is 228-2336, and we'll have some more tickets to give away. I think we have three more pairs, which we'll give away, so stay tuned. Let's see, 1959, it says here. You know, we spent a couple hours talking last time, and we only got to 1953 or 52, so they were moving up from there. U.S. Army Ordnance Project Engineers display the first solid-state programmer timer for use in missiles and space vehicles. Tell us about that.
Well, during the activity that I had with the military in miniaturization, I received many contracts, one of which was to design and develop a complete solid-state timing mechanism, not too different than your current digital clocks, for timing the flight of a missile or a rocket so that you could detonate the warhead at a certain point in its flight. And these were successfully produced for the military. In fact, they were also used on a number of larger rockets that were being produced at Redstone Arsenal at the time.
Do you ever work with NASA directly or no?
No, only with the military and the Army, Navy, and the Air Force.
Okay, only. That's enough, my goodness. Yes, I see in 1960, the Department of Army successfully test-fired a special fuse of yours, a special proximity fuse. So now let's see. We go to 1963. And it says the Department of the Army...
Yeah, before you get away from that
fuse, let's go
that
back.
Was special because there were no known electromagnetic countermeasures for that fuse.
But now?
There still is not.
Really?
Yeah, and it's very unusual proximity fuse.
Huh, amazing. You don't have one here, huh?
Yes, I do.
well, I don't know. Maybe Chris wants to see it.
But it turns out that there is a lot of interest by... the Strategic Defense Initiative people in the current technology today, but in a different way.
Okay. Have we made any contacts in the last few minutes? Okay. So let's see if we can make a contact and hear what it sounds like real live.
Okay, what was the call again? AVK, go ahead. Roger, November 7th. Okay. November 7th, Alpha Victor Kilo. Got you fixed now. Okay, the uniform India Fighter and I'm 5-3. November 4, Kilo Victor.
We're going to try to break in there.
Alpha Papai Echo.
Victor Oscar, 1 Quebec Fox, Kilo Z.
Alpha Papai Echo.
And 4KV, 595.
CSL, 5904.
Thank you, Victor Oscar, 1 Queen Fox.
Alpha Papai Echo.
Alpha Papai Echo, 595. Okay, Whiskey Alpha 7, Alpha Papa Echo, thank you. The 01QF, you are there.
Okay, guys, you heard it there. We made a contact on the air to a Canadian station. It was just that easy. So anybody out there wants to get involved with ham radio, get involved. Is there still any room in the classes that you're doing, or is it basically...
Not until February.
This isn't on, is it? This mic. Okay.
So in February, we should start another group again. And right now, I've got about 12 students, and several of them are probably going to go for the novice license, which includes 5 words a minute code, and probably about 8 to 10 of them are interested in the tech no code, which is very popular, as you said before.
Okay, and you want to give a number where people, I know it's only November, not almost, but it is a fantastic class that you provide, and I mean, has anybody taken this class and not gotten a license?
Well, there's a couple that are still continuing to work at the code, but this is the first time we've taught the no-code tech in conjunction with the novice material, and it's interesting and it's new, and I'm learning quite a bit myself. So I don't have any basis for saying no, there's no one that hasn't gotten the license yet.
Okay, so, and give us a number that if you're interested, if you're out there, you're on 11 meters or you're not on anything and you want to be, or you're on the wrong thing and let's get on the right thing. And give out a number where in February they can possibly get.
We'll be advertising at one of the local amateur radio equipment outlets and also in the Arizona Desert Airwaves. And I'd like to give the number 962-3388. Anyone can call me there, and I'll get back to you.
962-3388. Okay, so if anybody's interested and wants to plan on becoming a licensed amateur radio operator, give 962-3388 a call, and Chris will help you steer you towards licensing. And it's not difficult. My 9-year-old has done it. Right, Larry? And what's your call again?
N7UKZ.
You crazy. So if anybody's interested and want to know how far along they are, it took about 7 weeks since she took her test, so she received her license, about 7 weeks. And I want you to know that the mailman came by every day. We had a run to see if the man had the letter. And and there have been some announcements on packets, and there have also been some other announcements that if you call their Gettysburg, Virginia FCC phone number, that they will give you a status report on the license. I want to tell you that's not necessarily true. The FCC does not have a record of whether or not your license is going out soon or anything until it is not in the computer, until they have issued it. And so that if you call them and they're going to issue it the next day, which happened with Lori, I called on Monday, they said they have no record of anybody by that name, and there's no license given out. The next day is what's stamped on the license. So the only thing I will say is maybe if you call, they'll rush yours through. I don't know, because it is funny that the next day they did it. Anyway, but don't try calling 3 weeks after you've taken your test. They won't have any information, and you'll waste your money on a long-distance phone call. Okay, Ken is showing me four tickets to PIR. Four tickets this coming Saturday to the great race at PIR Raceway. We're going to take the fifth call, number five, the fifth call. I want to keep these engineers at the studio busy. So we're going to take the fifth, he's yelling at me, the fifth call at 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN. And we'll take the fifth call for four. That's right, four free tickets. Now, if you've won before the last two sets of tickets, you can't win again. So, but anybody else, the fifth caller will win four free tickets. So, boy, I'm getting into this. Anybody else? No. Okay. I see here that that you had something to do with the launch of a series of high-altitude missiles equipped with special electric field sensors designed and built by you to verify anti-missile capability of the system at White Sands Missile Range. Tell me, now that, and I see it's in 1963, and the only reason that it's really sound is that Cuba had something to do in that time frame, and I'm wondering if this had anything to do with that.
Well, that had a lot to do with the proximity fuse development work in order to determine the potential for the proximity fuse to work against a vehicle like a rocket. That was the principle behind it. The electric field meter was a sensor that was used on the missile to determine whether the fusing technology could be used.
Okay, and so now White Sands Missile Range, that's where our nuclear arsenal is, right?
Well, or not no? necessarily, no, but that's where a lot of testing is done for strategic defense initiative.
Okay, no, but in 1963, that was not...
No, that wasn't, that connotation wasn't implied at that time. That connotation came with President Reagan's administration.
Well, now I see here that it does say that you had you did a lot of stuff involved with the measurement of electric fields on ICBM missiles, reentry vehicles, and deep space probes.
Yes, when it was learned how much data could be accumulated from these measurements, The Air Force and Advanced Research Project Agency decided to use the electric field meters on much larger vehicles like the Atlas and the Titan IIs to determine the potential for fusing in that direction, and it was totally for that dedication. However, many other things came as a result of those flights.
Okay, we have a caller online. Welcome to... Online? No, okay. All right, did I stop you in the middle of something else? No, okay. Oh, I got something here. What do I have? One. Tickets for Buddy Job. Oh, really? Okay. The head chief. Okay, right after my show at 3 o'clock, there's going to be the debut of a brand new show on KFNN. And that's by Jeff Arum, a former employee of another radio station in Phoenix, a journeyman radio announcer here. And what is your show's title exactly?
The Business of Sports. And today we're going to delve into the business of the Phoenix International Raceway and their big event coming up next Sunday, the Pi Royal Automotive Chemicals 500 race. And what you're giving tickets away for today?
No, we're giving tickets away for that race. Yes, we are. Okay, super. Well, that's what a tie-in, Ken. You are really got ESP. Well, I congratulate you and good luck on the new show. And that will be on, it's going to be on at 3 o'clock every week, every Sunday. And my show is going to be on at 1 o'clock every Sunday. And then at 2 o'clock, we're going to have Computer Success on. And after Computer Success on KFNN, Jeff Arum will be on. So you want to listen on Sundays. All day we're going to be involved. Video and more. This is Len Winkler, KB7LPW. And again, we're joined at the Arizona State Fair by a group of people. And I also have with me June Reese, Miss Sundrop. You've heard me give away Sundrop T-shirts every so often. And right now, to the next caller, 241-1510, the next caller at 241-1510, we have a free Sundrop T-shirt, right?
Wow.
Okay, a free Sundrop T-shirt. And let's talk about Sundrop. Tell us what it is exactly. What is Sundrop?
Sundrop is the newest Goodwill ambassador for the state of Arizona. Our son created this little guy when he was 17 and left us in a car accident because of a car accident when he was age 27. So we've gone ahead with his dream, and we're planning on using him all over the state.
I really enjoy the character. And what? Tell us some of the events that you've been participating in, and then tell us about this hospital thing that you're getting involved with.
Oh, we've been in the Parada del Sol and at the Great Fair in Fountain Hills, and we're getting ready right now to be in another parade in South Mountain Village, and we've also got a big coloring contest going on. We'd like all the kids from kindergarten to fourth grade to enter that coloring contest and come out for the parade. That's November 2nd. And we just like to be wherever things are going on in the state of Arizona. Also, we'd like to tell you a little bit about Children's Hospital. We're trying to get together 1,000 dolls to distribute to the children at Children's Hospital by Christmas. Any companies or individuals that would like to participate, would you please call us at 275-7450. We would like for companies to get some of the Sundrop dolls and help us distribute these at Children's Hospital. That number is 275-7450. Thank you, Lenny.
Okay, June. Well, thank you for coming on and being a guest, and thank you for sponsoring and helping sponsor Ham Radio and More.
You're ever so welcome. We love doing this.
And we love the Sundrop. And it is such a beautiful symbol, and I met the Sundrop here. I was fortunate to get a hug. My kids got a hug from him, and really a cuddly character.
Well, you know, today you're really finding out that sundrops and raindrops go hand in hand. We always said that Arizona has sundrops instead of raindrops, but today we have both.
Okay, June, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Lenny. Thank you.
Okay, I need to get a little business done here. John Morello is the owner of Portofino Restaurante and the brand spanking new Portofino West in Surprise, Arizona. There's no question about it. The Arizona State Fair has lots to eat. But if you want a really good meal where you can sit down, relax, and enjoy, the place to go is Portofino. It is family-owned and operated. Portofino has been at 59th Avenue in Bell for over 4 years now, and only 2 weeks ago, they opened a super brand new Portofino West at 128th Avenue in Bell in Surprise. I've eaten there a couple of times, and it is super. Comes as no surprise that the food's fantastic in both places, from the appetizers to the entrees to desserts. I'm telling you, and Chris, you got to go to Portofino and eat, because do you like Italian food?
Yes, definitely.
How about you, Mark?
Oh, definitely.
Everybody loves Italian food, and they have, sincerely, the best Italian food for the price anywhere. I mean, you can go to some of these East Side Italian food restaurants, and I'm not knocking the East Side because I live on the East Side, but some of them, and you pay $15, $20 for a meal. I'm telling you, you can have lasagna for $7.95, and you can't eat more than they give you. It is filling, and it is delicious. The sauce, it's not, doesn't sit there where you have to run and go to the back, you know, it sits and sits on you. This stuff is delicious. And they have tiramisu. Have you ever tasted tiramisu? Have you, anybody here had tiramisu for dessert? It is the most delicious Italian food. They use special chocolate, special cheese. It is really delicious. I'm telling you, save room for tiramisu when you go to Portofino. Again, family-owned by Joe Morello. It is super. Go to the new Portofino West at 128th Avenue and Bell Road in Surprise, where John is at all the time. And his phone number is 583-1931. 583-1931 for a meal you can't beat. The price is right. The food is fantastic. And it's casual. I mean, you don't have to dress up to go there. Or go to the regular Portofino Restaurante at 59th Avenue and Bell Road. That's 59th Avenue and Bell Road. And their phone number is 938-1902. 938-1902 for reservations. Give Portofino a call, and I'll tell you, if you're not, you know, you don't have plans for this evening, you don't care about the World Series anyway, and they probably have a television, they can, you can watch it anyhow. Go there, and if not tonight, go there tomorrow. The food is superb. And I forgot to mention, if you mention Ham Radio and More, KFNN Radio, they give you free regular drinks with your meal. So what can you lose? Go to Portofino and mention KFNN Radio and Len Winkler, and you'll get free drinks. Now, we just pulled, well, we didn't. Chris Townsend just pulled a card from our ever-popular prize drawing batch, which is, you know, beautifully done by everybody, hopefully sending in their QSL cards to me at 4800 North Central, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. Send in your QSL cards. I don't make this up. Send it in. Here's a great gift, a tiger's tail, donated by Jim Stevens, KK7C of Antennas West, at 1-800-926-7373. What a great number, huh? 1-800-926-7373. Jack, you're very quiet today. And but you can win a this person that Chris has just pulled is one. A beautiful tiger's tail, and a tiger's tail works great. I have mine. Is that true, Mark? Do I have a tiger's tail on my HD?
Yes, you do.
Okay, and it absolutely adds about 2 to 4 dB gain on your HD. Now, Chris is looking real closely at it, and, you know, and now he's grabbing it and fondling it, but this tiger's tail absolutely works beautifully. It adds to your receive and your transmit. Anyway, the winner is KB7KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, John Graham. And let me tell you, Chris, you pulled a Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club member.
He's one of my old students, Len.
Oh, no. He had his eyes closed.
I promise my eyes were closed.
Your eyes were closed. I made you do that. So, John Graham, thank you for sending in your QSL card. The third caller at 241-1510, the 241-1510, the third caller is getting two free tickets to PIR. Two free tickets to PIR, the third caller. So give us a call. KFNN, 241-1510, and they just changed microphones for me. Okay, now, I need Al Gross to talk about something which I find very intriguing while we're waiting for our third phone call at 241-1510. Al, in 1980, on February the 22nd, which is Washington's birthday, you met a very interesting man. Can you tell me about that? Who did you meet?
While I was in Italy as a guest of many CB and ham operators over there, I received a very important message that I was going to have a private audience with Pope John Paul. And that happened uniquely on my birthday, February 22nd, 1980, and it lasted for about 45 minutes.
Honest Ale. George Washington, oh, that's Lincoln.
No, my birthday is February 22nd. Now, I can't help it if Washington was born at the same day.
Okay, and so how long did you spend with the Pope?
About 45 minutes.
And he speaks English, right? He speaks nine languages or something.
Yes, fluent.
Did you talk about electronics at all?
Well, he wanted to see the original radios, which I had with me at the time, and I was pleased. And then I was offered a beautiful tour of the Vatican as well.
You didn't get to take home any samples of their, some of their gold medallions or,
Yeah, I go to banks a lot of time and want to take home samples, and they never let me do that either.
Okay, so I think that is really, really interesting. Did we get a winner yet, do you know, for a third caller? Okay, we're still waiting on that. Okay, go ahead, Al.
Oh, I do want to put in a good word for my wife, Ethel, and my sister-in-law, Laurie, and I trust they're listening.
They have to be. They'd be crazy not to be listening to this. Okay, and everybody's going to send in their QSL cards to 4800 North Central, Phoenix, Arizona. I want a lot of mail because KFNN is able to handle only 1,500 cards a day, so I want more than that coming into the studio. I want to really take up all their room. I think that is so interesting, though. Would you tell me about the first citizens' band radio contact made in England?
Yes,
And I want to know also if it was mobile or base and the vehicles that were involved.
Yes, I was invited by the British.
I need to tell you about Antennas West. Antennas West, Jim Stevens, KK7C. He's a sponsor of the show, and I hope that you people are buying some products from him because he has good antennas. You have any antennas from him? Of course you do, Chris. Of course. And I mean, because he does make the best antennas around. He's from Provo, Utah. His phone number is 1-800-926-7373, 1-800-926-7373. And he's involved with the QRV DX half square. Are you familiar with the half square antenna?
No, I'm not.
Okay, the half square antenna, are you? The half square antenna is really, it's a super thing. Now here, and I'm reading this because I got to be honest with you. Although it doesn't require great height and it's unobtrusive, it's a whole antenna with full-sized results. Now, it's easy to conceal, but the DX can't hide from it. You probably would have made three times the contacts that we've made here if you would have had it. But no, you brought just a... What kind of antenna were you using?
A Hustler 5-band vertical.
A Hustler 5-band vertical. And they did a beautiful job. You know why we've got lots of people in front of us, I guess? The Beach Boy concert, huh? It's easy to conceal, and it works on all meters. They've got a 10-meter, a 15-meter, a 20-meter, and a 40-meter, and also a half-square for the work band, really. And it's very inexpensive, and the SWR is 2-to-1, normally less than 2-to-1 across the band all the time. And they work at different bands, and there's very little space needed, a half-wave span, broadside, a desired DX direction. Height should be a quarter-wave or higher. Half-squares are... for different bands are nested or fed from the same feed line. And it's really a good product, and it's not expensive, from $35 to $65, as long as you mention Ham Radio More. You even get an extra discount, and that's true. Jim will give you an extra discount if you mention Ham Radio More. And if you need a solar battery, solar supplies, Tiger's Tail, or any other equipment from Ham Radio, for Ham Radio, Antennas West, 1-800-926-7373. Now, I've been told that we're going to probably be on only for another 5 or 10 minutes because they've got to make some adjustments here for the next show, but we'll utilize our last few minutes to the best that we can. Were you in, you got some other things. In 1980, you were inducted as a life member in the Radio Club of America. Tell us about the Radio Club of America because, you know, I've talked to a few people and they never heard of it.
Radio Club of America was organized in 1909, consists largely at that time of the original pioneers of amateur radio. There weren't very many amateur radios at that time, perhaps something less than 1,500. Today it's considered the oldest radio club in America, made up largely of those people who were involved in the pioneering of amateur radio. And I understand you are a member.
Oh, well, that's thankfully to the president of the Radio Club of America and you for nominating me, which I really appreciate. And I don't have it on today, but if you've noticed, I had it on at the convention, and I wear it a lot. So my Radio Club of America pin proudly. But you are a life member, and you got a citation for pioneering portable two-way personal radio.
Yes. I do. I received a fellow award in the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, the world's largest professional engineering organization. And I'm currently listed as a life member of the same organization.
And we have two more tickets. We have two more tickets left. Two more tickets left for the for PIR, and we're going to take the next caller at 241-1510. The next caller, as in one, at 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. The last two tickets to PIR, so call now. Okay. Al, let's see, what else? Oh, in 1981, you received a presidential commendation from President
Reagan.
And tell us
for affirmative contribution to personal two-way radio.
And did you meet
No, I did not meet the president.
Oh.
It was mailed to me, but the citation I have.
Tell me about something I just remembered that we discussed. Didn't you once go to a meeting or something with a gentleman who invented the atomic bomb?
Oh, yeah, that was quite a long time ago.
Well, so we can talk about that for a minute. We don't have a lot of time, but let's talk about Albert Einstein.
Well, this happened shortly before 1940 and 1941 when I had the opportunity to meet him at the...
Be listening next week at 1 o'clock for Ham Radio and More.